This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We know it's not decided. I have no problem with that. That's how it should be in a semi-final. We conceded there already five. How could I say that's not possible? You have to celebrate the party when the party starts, not already, I don't know, 4 weeks before. I start really answering on your question in the way you want me to answer, then he only has to put the newspapers in the dressing room and say, that's what Klopp said, and then go. In this competition, it's about going to the next round. We are not in the next round. Why should I celebrate it? Let's ask or talk about that after the second game, and we'll see if we talk about the same thing or not.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool boss in combat mode, as was his team. Through our, Champions League football coming up. This is Thank Friday, it's football with me, Ross. And in the studio, we've got Bob Holmes.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Bob. We've got Gogolin.
What's up?
We've got Arvin Sidhu.
Hello, everyone. Happy weekend to start off with.
Yeah, looking very dapper in his Real Madrid home kit, I might add. That is the game we start with. Juve 0, Real Madrid 3. Ronaldo, in case you have not seen or heard, with possibly one of the great Champions League goals, the bicycle kick.
Absolutely. Mind you, the first one wasn't bad either.
Exactly.
Was it?
Yeah.
I mean, I was wondering about that. How on earth did he get that with the outside of his right foot?
Just stab it into the corner.
Yeah. I mean, behind him, wasn't it? Absolutely magical. I mean, the guy has really come alive. At the start of the season, we were beginning to wonder whether he was slightly over the hill. Or indeed over the hill, because he was injured and he didn't score for a while. But he's certainly made up for it now. And I think he and Messi, really, I think we'll only perhaps really appreciate them
once they've gone.
Yeah.
Because we got so used to this now.
But Ronaldo, yeah, exactly. Ronaldo's 33. How much longer can he go on for?
That's the thing with Ronaldo. I think he's always got these haters and these people, these doubters that come up and always write him off. And I think he feeds off that kind of negativity and he turns it into the performances that he does. Bob, that goal for me was a moment where almost time stood still. It's the moment where, like, when Zidane scored in the final, you know it's going to happen. And when it does, you just stand up. I mean, for the Juve crowd to actually give him the standing ovation that they did.
Yeah.
The last time you remember that happening was when Ronaldo scored a hat-trick at Old Trafford.
I actually.
And the height that he got up, I read a stat that he actually got up 7'7" to actually put his right leg up. It's absolutely incredible, the technique that he put into
in
that.
In the middle.
Into that. And with Ronaldo, completely agree with you, Bob. We don't realize what we have with him right now. We will only realize once it's gone. He's always reinventing stats. One very interesting stat I've read today, Ross, is that he's got 103 Champions League goals since he left Man United to Real Madrid. And since then, he's got more Champions League goals than Man United have scored in that period of time.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely incredible what this man is continuing to do.
16 goals in his last 10 Champions League games. It is only half time, though. Juve could well mount a second leg comeback, he says.
They'll have to do it without
Paulo Dybala. All right, the other Tuesday game was Sevilla 1, Bayern 2. Sevilla aren't as bad as everyone says they are, because they were quite good in this game. It was a Frank Ribery-inspired Bayern Munich, and in the end it was a Thiago header that won it for the Germans. On to the game that we're talking about. Liverpool 3, Man City 0. Let's start with City. Pep Guardiola got it wrong, didn't he, with the Gundogan pick?
I mean, we were speaking about this before the show, with the Gundogan thing and all that. I mean, Pep Guardiola does his teams in such a way that if he rejigs something, that it's like a house of cards. It all falls apart. Which is why it beggars belief that he did that change for this a game of this stature. I mean, I know he wants to do the hype. He was expecting the high press and all that, and he wanted a player of that Gundogan to give the on the right. But, you know, a player like Raheem Sterling would have put somebody like Alex Robertson guy at the back.
But this is how you play City. This is how you play Guardiola's City. It's in your face. It's 100 miles an hour. And for the first 31 minutes, it paid off.
Yeah. Well, Klopp got it absolutely right, didn't he? And Pep got it wrong. I totally agree with Goggs there. I mean, Gundogan was the
key.
Was the wrong choice. First of all, he's not the player he was at Borussia Dortmund. We all have seen him on TV.
There have been two serious injuries.
Yeah, he's not the same player. And he looked lost. He kept cutting inside. He didn't really help the right back very much. He was a complete flop. And they missed Sterling. They missed the width that Sterling gives. And okay, we know the story. We know why Sterling didn't start and he had that
bad time. Because he got booed.
Yeah, and all that. But this is no way to go.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can't hide a player. A guy who's scored 20 goals for you this season. He's been one of the star players. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Okay.
It's okay. Sterling will score a hat-trick in the second leg.
Yeah, well, I mean,
but you'd think Sterling would be up for this kind of game, right?
Yeah. He didn't do a lot when he came on, admittedly. But I think he would have been better if he'd started.
I really do think
psychologically it would have been easier for him if he's starting a game rather than coming on with all the attention focused on him.
At 3-0 down.
Also, Laporte at left-back didn't work out.
No.
Delph was actually available on the bench.
Yeah, exactly. And with City, that's the one area that we all felt that, you know, you've got Salah on the right. They don't have a specialist left-back since Benjamin Mendy has got injured. He's tried putting Danilo there, who's a bit of a utility player. He's done well with Delph, but it's not at the level of a Champions League quarterfinal against Liverpool at Anfield. Laporta, I can understand why he's put him there. He's a left-centred defender. He plays on the left. He's got a left foot and everything. And he spent a lot of money on him. There's a little bit of a push to do it as well. But the guy just looked uncomfortable at that position. So they struggle because they don't have a specialist left back since Benjamin Mendy has got injured, and they struggle. I completely agree.
We struggle, but I think they were just shell-shocked by the pace of the Liverpool
game. But it shouldn't be new to him because it happened to him in the league.
But that's my point.
You expect Pep to be better prepared for this.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And it was like watching the same thing all over again.
Exactly.
Because that's all they did. The game plan was exactly the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the big thing for Liverpool on this one is keeping that clean sheet. That clean sheet is almost as worth in another goal, because it's so important that they've kept that and they've shown City that they can shut them out.
Is it over then, guys? Is it over? Oh. Next Tuesday.
I think it is, actually.
You say it is, but that's the beauty of two English clubs playing each other, and especially these two English clubs in the Champions League.
I kind of agree there.
That you'll never know what's going to happen. If it was any other teams from any other leagues, I would say it's over. But it's because it's Liverpool and Man City, I think there's a lot more in that second leg.
Yeah, if City were to get a goal in the first few minutes,
then we really
they'd have a sniff, yes. I mean, the crowd would be up for it and all the rest of it. But it's not Anfield, is it?
No. Yeah, it's not Anfield.
I think City were rattled. I was very disappointed.
Yeah, before, with the coach.
Well, we don't know.
They attacked the bus, didn't they?
We don't know to what extent that affected them. They did say, commendably, I think, that it didn't affect them.
Well, I think it affected the boss more. Guardiola.
Well, he's one of his assistants was filming
the whole thing. Though. Yeah,
and when you see it, it does look pretty frightening. I mean, if you were on the bus,
exactly.
I mean, I think you wouldn't be too happy.
Kevin De Bruyne, did you read what he said?
He said it's nothing.
He said, he said it's actually good as long as there's no violence
and
involved.
No one gets hurt,
nobody gets hurt.
But why take that risk? We remember what happened with Dortmund in Monaco a year ago. With the bomb threat, why take that risk?
I mean, in this day and age,
I was very surprised to see the Liverpool fans to actually come on. I mean, we've always got a bad bunch in every club, but I'm very surprised that the degree to what they did on that day, and to hear about it and read about it before the game, it was a bit unexpected for me at least, because I've not remembered the last time that Liverpool have had a history of fans doing this, so it was a bit surprising. But on the day, on the game itself, they were shell-shocked in that 30-minute spell where Liverpool just breezed past them, and they struggled after that, really. And one thing very important for the second leg is Kun Aguero. He's got a good record against Liverpool. He's hopefully going to come back. If he gets a goal early, they've got a chance.
James Milner for England? Central
Well, if I was Southgate, I'd be on the phone to him and asking him to come back. I mean, he's the ultimate utility player. He was magnificent. The English trio in midfield, much maligned, Henderson, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Milner.
A goal by Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah, terrific. But just getting back to this, the rattling bit of the fact that City were rattled. I mean, I think this was good that Liverpool showed such tremendous passion. The Liverpool fans. It was a throwback to the good old days. Mm-hmm. We've had enough of this prawn sandwich eating behind glass doors. the sanitization of football. We want to get back to the old days.
The Terry McDermott days.
I'm not saying, you know, it's right violence, to chuck a bottle at a passing bus, but really.
But the midweek night overall, games tend to have.
Yeah, overall, it was a great night for football.
Yeah.
And we want more of this. You know, Liverpool were fantastic. The fans were fantastic. I mean, let's applaud this. Yep. Not go down this road of UEFA, you know, talking about banning them or making them play behind closed doors for a game or something like that. We don't want that. This is what football is all about, to see a crowd like that. Wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yeah, now the question is, can City emulate that kind of atmosphere back when they go to their team? Yeah, that's going to be the big question. I don't think that they can.
They've got to fill up the stadium.
They've got to fill up the stadium first. But they need their fans to be right behind them on this one.
Tickets are available for that one. It's still available.
Amazingly, yes, you can still buy them. Okay, the other Wednesday game, Barcelona 4, Roma 1, as if you need to help Barcelona along their way. And it's only Mr. Roma that helped them along. Daniel De Rossi with the own goal. And really unfortunate, but Barca were always going to win that, right?
Two things that happened in that game. You had a referee in the 9th minute who did not give Roma the penalty that they deserved when Nelson Semedo crashed into Edin Dzeko and Edin Dzeko's on the floor. At the 9th minute, in those type of games, you don't get a penalty. It's very, very unfortunate. Eusebio De Francesco has come out and said that Barcelona is really good. They don't need a referee to help them in that instance.
Whoa.
And then you've got two quite unfortunate own goals, especially the second one. I mean, the Daniel De Rossi one, I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to cut across and try to clear off the ball from Messi, he inadvertently puts it into the net.
But the second one was the goalie off the guy's thigh.
Very unfortunate for Costas Manolas there on the second one.
And then everyone's favourite Malaysian, Suarez, scoring finally after a year.
I think Roma would have felt that they would have stood a chance if it ended at 3-1. But when Suarez put that last goal in and Fazio, the ex-Tottenham defender who did horrible in that clearance, that's when you knew that this is for Barcelona right now to be in the semis.
Yep. Okay. Good win for Barca. Actually, who would have thought that out of all the second legs, you look at the ties, out of all them, the most alive tie would be the Sevilla-Bayern one.
Yeah.
You'd say the others are probably dead.
Yeah. Well, Sevilla, I think, we brushed past that, didn't we?
Yeah.
They were very unfortunate. I mean, both Bayern goals were deflections, weren't they?
Yeah.
You know, and they missed a sitter, didn't they? Sarabia, the guy that scored.
I don't know how you missed that one.
They could have been 2-0 up, and then they concede two deflections. That would have been a very different scenario.
Yeah, it's a classic case of Bayern showing the experience in this one.
That was James all over.
James Rodriguez.
And it was Heynckes who brought James on.
But also because Vidal pulled his groin or something.
All right, very quickly, Arsenal 4, CSKA 1 in the Europa League. It is a route into the Champions League for the Gunners next year.
5 games unbeaten now.
If they do it, they will oust the 4th place team. Apparently, right?
Oh, is it? No,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
No, that's not what happened last season.
No. But the new rules are supposed to kick in. Yeah, each team's each country is only allowed 4 or 5, or maybe there's no playoff.
No. What if that was Tottenham? Can you imagine?
Yeah, exactly.
There is a scenario where if Tottenham is the last of all, they can miss out if Arsenal win the Europa.
Serious?
Yeah.
We've got to look that one out.
So anyway, elsewhere.
It will be quite funny though.
Yeah, but I mean, this was Arsenal. Actually, they're on a 5-game winning run now, Arsenal. Yeah, 4-1 against CSKA. Atletico, who we think is the only other strength team in the Europa League, they beat Sporting Lisbon 2-0. Lazio force RB Salzburg 2. And RB Leipzig 1, Olympic Marseille 0. That's your Europa League quarterfinal first leg. We're going for our first break. We'll be back and we're going to preview Derby weekend, right after this.
Hi, I'm Kevin Keegan, and this is Thank Friday It's Football, and I will love it if you keep listening. Love it.
Thank Friday It's Football on BFM 89.9.
Thanks a lot for sticking with us, Bob Goggs and Arvind in the studio. Before we preview the weekend, we should mention that the week actually started with ultra sad news that Ray Wilkins passed away, the ex-Chelsea, Man United, AC Milan, and probably loads of other clubs that I can't remember. But he was a cultured right-footed. But it was
both feet.
Both feet, wasn't
both
he?
Both feet. One yeah. of the that's why he was cultured.
Exactly, one of the rare ones.
Oh, no, but I still remember when I was watching that FA Cup final against Brighton, how he cut and put the ball in to goal. That was my first experience with Ray Wilkins. Wow. Yeah.
61, too young.
80 over caps for England as well.
80 over caps.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, and his pundit work was really nice as well. I thought he always gave a very good analysis of the game as well. Still was with the Chelsea backroom staff helping out as well. A real loss to the game. I think a lot of people felt this one.
Well, he's in the great stadium in the sky with David Bowie and all that lot. Anyway, it's Derby weekend. Tonight, we should mention big game in the championship involving Malaysia's Cardiff City and runaway leaders Wolves.
Jorge Mendes Wolves.
And Portugal's Wolves.
And Portugal's Wolves.
I thought it was Jorge Mendes Wolves.
Yeah, that too.
The situation is Cardiff are 6 points behind. They have a game in hand. If they win this, it is all game on, title fight all the way to the wire, right?
Yeah, but they have a comfortable cushion on the third place team. Mm. So even if they were to lose tonight, they're still odds on to go up automatically.
Yeah, it's a Friday night game in the UK. All right, let's talk about our derby weekend. It starts early on Saturday, 7:30. It's the Merseyside derby. It's ninth versus third. I do a good scouse. I admit it.
Yes.
Everton have only won one of their last 22 meetings with Liverpool. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
They've been like 10 draws, 11 losses.
It's like Stevie G all over again.
It is. Only more eloquent than Carragher.
Hey.
Don't start spitting.
But yeah, if you're Sam Allardyce, this might be a good time to play Liverpool. They will, if you're Klopp, you're going to rest your big guns, right? You want to keep them safe for Man City, won't you, Bob?
Yeah. Well, he has no choice in the matter, has he? I mean, they were threadbare against City. I mean, this is what's overlooked, actually. It was an injury-hit squad.
Yeah.
He only had two senior centre-halves that were fit. And if anything were to happen to Van Dijk or Lovren, he'd have to throw in a 19-year-old who's never played, Connor Masterson. Only real hardcore Liverpudlians would know who he is. Promising, but he's never played in the first team before. So you wouldn't want to put him in against City, would you? He may play against Everton just to give somebody a rest. But this is how, you know, how sort of threadbare the squad is with injuries. Nat Klein could play because he's come back from injury, having missed the entire season so far. But it's going to be a much, much changed Liverpool squad. And for once, possibly the first time in 100 years, I think they are willing to sacrifice bragging rights just for a few weeks if it helps them beat City and they get to the semi-final of the Champions League.
Mm. What? Sam Allardyce, I want to point out, currently is teetering on 199 Premier League defeats. One more will take him into the 200 club, and he's only joined by Harry Redknapp, who's lost 238 times, apparently, in the Premier League.
Everton have got a recent really horrible record against,
they have a terrible
against Liverpool.
But this one, it could be, I mean, if Allardyce, have Everton got the personnel, though, to upset Liverpool?
To sum it up, I think this is Everton's biggest game of the season for them, but it's not even Liverpool's biggest game of the week. Because it's City for them, right? The last time Everton beat them, I think you had Tim Cahill and also Mikel Arteta scoring, and those players are not even hardly around anymore. One is retired,
Arteta.
One's a coach.
Arteta's on the bench for City.
Yeah, as a coach, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if there was any time for Everton to actually show some passion, give something to their fans to cheer about, it would be this.
Yeah.
And it might endear Big Sam a little bit more to that.
And Sam's
fans.
A canny old manager. He will identify this as the game that could win it all back for him. And maybe bed the next season.
He
put a marker down for next season.
Completely bored everyone when they played at Anfield and stole that last minute penalty, if you remember, it was a 1-1. So this is him at home against Liverpool, who potentially got one eye off the ball because of the return leg against City. So if there's ever any time for Big Sam to do it, it would be right now. But again, he's doing fairly well. Top 10 in the Premier League, but still getting his doubters, obviously, but from the way that he plays.
Every Everton fan I speak to, you know, is wants him out, and he's like, you know, one of the worst managers they've had comparatively. And that is why I say that regardless of how Liverpool are going facing this game, Everton will not show up, and it will be a Liverpool game.
Well, Everton have some injury worries. Apparently, Mangala's out, which may be good.
Good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Sigurdsson's out. Unfortunately, Ashley Williams is available. So, for Liverpool, there is a doubt over Salah. He had a muscle problem against City. Emre Can is a doubt. Joel Matip is a doubt. Lallana is out. Gomez, Clavan. Like Bob said, they have injury problems.
Klopp's not very happy with the timing of this game. He's come on and said that it's pretty ridiculous how they've played on a Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and they've put
he also said okay, City have a 5-hour advantage on us. Yeah. What can you do in 5 hours? You can recover a lot, right?
Yeah,
which I thought, okay, he thought about.
Well, it is ridiculous for them to have the early kickoff.
Yeah, but you know where it's done.
They'll hit the boozer and that'll be the end of that time.
It's because of the Merseyside derby. You can't have a late kickoff.
Yeah. And the police need a life as well, right? Okay, 7:30, that one. Will it be a big shout from the guys? We shall wait and see. Next up, second bottom Stoke will take on fourth place Spurs. Now, if you're into fantasy football and stuff, Harry Kane will be a pretty good shout, I reckon. Captain him. He came off the bench and put in a 10-minute cameo last time out when Spurs won at Chelsea. Spurs are tuning up for their FA Cup semi-final now. Stoke should be no problem. They are playing for their Premiership lives. And it's all not going very well there. I read that this week, Saido Berahino missed an under-23 game. He was late.
Well, not
like as if, you know.
He cares.
Exactly. Ibrahim Afellay has been told to stay away from the squad. Paul Lambert doesn't want him, doesn't need him. Are they going to stay out, Bob?
I don't think so, no. So much for getting more exotic players into the side, eh? They were better off in the days of Rory Delap taking 50-yard throw-ins and, you know, hard men.
With Peter Crouch on the end of it.
Peter Crouch on the end of it,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it did work, actually, to be fair, for a season or so, didn't it, with Stoke? Started playing more attractive football and maintained their position. But the last couple of years, it hasn't. Despite the presence of people like Shaqiri, who really does look a great player on his day.
He can turn a game.
He can, you know.
He needs to show up for it, though.
He doesn't always turn up, does he?
Yeah.
No, you can only see this being a Spurs win. Spurs, I mean, they're unencumbered by Europe now.
All guns
they're
blazing.
The FA Cup is the trophy that they can win. I think they can coast through this one. And worth mentioning here, I think, is that this week it was revealed that Daniel Levy, the chairman, is paid more than any of the players.
That was a known thing. That was a big bone of contention last season also when they were going on about the figures, when that was revealed same time last season. And they thought they were going to change it this season, and obviously he got paid more.
Yeah,
while the players are still on the same contracts.
Well, I mean, he's doing a good job, but you know, if you were Harry Kane, you might question.
This is why that whole Spurs project it's worth mentioning time and time again, and how they kept all those young players in within the ranks of with those salary scale, especially in this day and age of all the petrodollars and all the Russian money and all that stuff.
Spurs have got the second deadliest attack in the league after City away from home. They're going to score goals against Stoke, that's for sure. Stoke, we used to remember the days when the Britannia Stadium was actually a venue that you would go to and you would feel uncomfortable. I don't think teams don't feel that way anymore.
These Stoke's the kind of team that if they do get relegated, we may never see them in the top league again. I hate to say it, I'm sorry if there are Stoke fans listening, but you know what I mean, right? Should point out that Paul Lambert has lost all four of his Premier League home games against Tottenham, once with Norwich and three times with Aston Villa, Cogs.
Yep, yep. Don't remind me.
Yep, yep, he says. We're going for another very short break. When we come back, the EPL preview weekend continues.
Hi, I'm KJ, Minister of Youth and Sports. Thank Friday, it's football.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
And we're back. We're back with Bob Holmes, with Gogolin, and with Arvind Sidhu. You can get in touch with the guys. Tweet at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We're on Facebook. Like our page. It's Football on BFM. Continuing our preview of Derby weekend. First place second, Man City take on Man United. City can, of course, clinch the title by beating their local rivals. But since midweek, of course, things have changed a little bit. Question here, because City have lost 3-0 to Liverpool, will Guardiola, I mean, maybe Aguero would not be risked, no?
Yeah, it's a massive dilemma for Pep, isn't it, this? I mean, he must have thought about it before, and I think if they'd got a good result against Liverpool, he probably would have picked a stronger side to clinch this game against United, to clinch the title. But because they're in such a mess with the Champions League, they know they're going to win the title anyway. And as much as they would love to beat United in front of their own fans, I think he may well sacrifice that and actually rest players and really give the Champions League a full go against Liverpool, because it's only Tuesday. I mean, it's ridiculous, this scheduling. We mentioned
Tuesday.
Yeah. So they're playing on Saturday evening there, and then they're playing again on Tuesday evening. And I would be surprised if he picked a really strong side for this, because this is not as important anymore, is it?
No. Not in the grand scheme of things, because they can still win the league the following week.
They cannot lose the league, can they? No matter what happens. They've got the league. It would be nice to beat United in front of their own fans.
Okay, so with Bob saying all that then, guys, do we think Jose Mourinho will go for it?
No. Regardless, I don't think Jose Mourinho would go for it, because at the end of the day, he will play not to lose like what he does typically away from home against the big team. So it's regardless of who City put out, he's still going to have the same mentality. It's very interesting, this one with Pep. He's got two ways to go about it. One is what, as Bob mentioned, but another thing that he would want to do is he would want to get that loss out of his system as soon as he can. And the best way that you can do it is at home against your biggest rivals, right? So he's got a bit of a conundrum here. And throughout Pep Guardiola's career, he's never been known to be someone who tinkers too much or rests players generally, right? Getting Aguero back, I think, is vital, because you need to get him that run out to be able to be competitive.
But you're asking the likes of David Silva and De Bruyne to do three games within, eight days?
So I feel he will rest a couple of players, but it won't be wholesale changes per se.
I mean, I agree with what Arvind's saying. Regardless of what team sheet Jose sees, he's going to be revert to type against away from home against a Pep team.
Deep, which
is not to lose. Because you know that.
Bus handbrake on.
But you were right. Before this, we were speaking about this is a chance for him to lay down a marker for next season. You know, to say that, you know, I have the players.
After all, he is the manager of a team with a reputation for attacking football.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of it has been forgotten as of late. But, you know, he should be. And this is one of the games where he can actually go. And I think Jurgen Klopp has already shown how he plays City.
Yeah. Sadly, though, Mourad Fellaini is available for selection.
Yeah, just want to say.
So, yeah.
Well, interesting stat. If City win it tomorrow, I think it's the earliest that any team has ever won the league.
And they're on course to break all kinds of records, if that happens. But that's a big if, and it could well be a big shout from one of the guys. Let's move on with our preview. Arsenal in sixth take on Southampton. 18th with Mark Hughes at the helm. Now, I was reading, there was a piece from Southampton player Dusan Tadic. I actually like it when senior players come out and say things like that. He's saying, Southampton players should feel ashamed. They're struggling in the Premier League. They're too good to be third from bottom, 2 points from safety. The fact that Mark Hughes has arrived has brought a breath of fresh air to the club, etc., etc. But can they get out of it, though?
Not enough time for Mark Hughes. Really, generally, don't think so. He's got enough of time. This is Arsenal away from home. He's already lost 3-0 back-to-back against his fellow relegation rivals in West Ham and Newcastle. They were absolutely horrible against West Ham. That was one of the worst performances I've seen in this season from any team, let alone Southampton. So Mark Hughes will help them to a certain extent, but the appointment for me has come a little bit too late, and I don't see them getting absolutely anything at all from the Emirates.
Will Wenger play his big guns in this one? Aubameyang will play, that's for sure.
I think it'll be a reasonably strong side, perhaps not everybody. But Arsenal are on a bit of a roll here.
Mm. Five wins.
They're having their usual
end of season rush,
yeah, when everything in the garden looks rosy. But they still can't fill the stadium, can they? There were empty seats again for Cesca last night, in fact. So it shows that the fans have not come back. You know, they've still got huge doubts about Wenger. And I think they're pretty much split, perhaps a majority in favour of him leaving, no matter what happens. I mean, should he manage to get through the tradesman's entrance to the Champions League next season, he will argue that, you know, he's achieved something and
good for another 2 years.
Yeah, but whether the hierarchy will go with it this time, I very much doubt.
But
actually,
he is the hierarchy, Bob. You know,
but they've moved new people into position.
But he still has a lot of power.
But Stan Kroenke's son is now calling the shots.
But I think that's still. I'm still not convinced of the power he has over. I mean, Arsene Wenger will decide when he leaves, which is what is saddening about this whole issue.
Well, if that's true, then he's there for another 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely. That's my point. And you're right. If they do win the Europa Cup, right, and enter through the back door, right, you're right. He's going to cement his place. It's another Champions League spot. He's going to cement his place for another season or two, as you said. And it's going to be back to where we are.
Unless he gets something like the France gig. Because of the World Cup.
Are you sure the France gig? I think those days of those managers, I think, are slowly being phased out, if you ask me. Everybody's looking for young, you know, managers.
More innovative type managers.
You know?
Well, anyway, if that's the case, Arsenal Fan TV will be worth watching for another year.
That's
the
worth one. Exactly.
Keep that subscription, guys. All right, Arsenal Southampton is a Sunday 9:15 kickoff. Sunday at 11:30, Chelsea in fifth take on West Ham, who are 14th. Now, West Ham, you would assume they are safe. And if they're safe, they actually have a decent set of players. David Moyes has got nothing to lose now. He's got to win some fans over, play some good football. This is another London derby for Chelsea. Last week, the London derby didn't work out too well against Spurs. West Ham are going into this one chasing a double. I can't remember when the last time that happened against Chelsea.
Well, it's funny that David Moyes, for once, has found a bit of luck, hasn't he? He's not getting blamed for this mess West Ham are in. You know, it's the board, isn't it? The fight is between the fans and the board. And David Moyes, of course, has got nothing to do with this decision to go to the Olympic Stadium. And he's done a reasonable job in rescuing the Hammers. But you say they're not a bad side. They've got good players. But they're nowhere near as good as Chelsea.
No.
I mean, Chelsea are still a very good side.
You get the feeling now Chelsea are just pottering along.
Yeah.
Champions League spots.
They're still the FA Cup.
Conte's long goodbye.
They've got the FA Cup, but Champions League spot is out for them. And you know Abramovich has lost half the interest if you tell him that already, right?
If there's one of the top six sides who look like they want their season to end right now, it would be Chelsea in the league.
Absolutely.
They look really disinterested.
That's why if you're a West Ham fan, you might actually fancy it.
With the double prediction. Like
and you know, West Ham have Marko Arnautovic.
Yeah.
He can actually turn the game in this league, can't he? He's proven that time and time again. All right, that is a very interesting game, that one. Chelsea against West Ham, Sunday, 11:30 kickoff. We're going for our final break now. Don't go away. Back right after this.
Hi, I'm Vicky Tradell, the British High Commissioner, and Thank Friday, it's football.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
Thanks for sticking with us. Continuing our look at the weekend's EPL action, Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace. Palace, who've been really unlucky recently by the odd goal, they could potentially move 5 points clear of relegation if results go that way. But, of course, it involves them beating Eddie Howe's Bournemouth.
Yeah. Besides being very unlucky with the games and the last-minute goals that they've conceded, Palace right now the team with the most injuries in the Premier League. They've got 10 injuries out.
2 months.
Roy Hodgson's come on and said that for his entire time in the Premier League, managing the likes of Liverpool, Fulham and West Brom, he has never had a situation that he's facing right now. Some of the players that they're missing, Benteke, it's probably for good reason that they're missing Benteke.
Yeah, that's
a good
thing, actually.
Connor Wickham, James Tompkins, Jeffrey Schlupp, Scott Dan, James Puncheon. They've got a whole list of players who are out.
But thankfully, Zaha is fit.
Yes.
And whilst that is the case, Palace actually have a chance. They just need to up their fitness levels because obviously they fade towards the end. All right, moving on. Brighton against Huddersfield. Brighton have a great record against Huddersfield at home. In the last 10 league meetings between these sides, it's been 5 wins for Brighton and 5 draws. And incidentally, both these sides have a joint league high of 4 nil-nils this season in the Premier League. Guess what this score is going to be?
Big shout.
Big shout. Moving on. Leicester versus Newcastle. Bob, is Mike Ashley the most canny club owner ever, really? Because he banked on Rafa Benitez falling in love with a club, sticking with a club, getting them to safety. And if that happens, the fans will still keep coming. He's not spent any money,
no
Mike
money
Ashley.
At all.
No money at all.
Because he's banking on Rafa's love for what
absolutely,
he wants to do.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Well, you asked the question. Okay. Canny, yes. He's a billionaire. He's got to be canny. But in terms of football, no. Because he's got a great club there. They get 50,000 every week, no matter what. Even in the championship, they got 50,000 people. And if he can't invest a few bob in a club like that and take them where they belong, where they deserve to be, those fans, to the higher end of the Premier League and into Europe, where they once were not too long ago, then I think he's an absolute disgrace.
Mm.
And I it's a great pity that that takeover bid early in the season didn't come off, because he's not fit to run Newcastle United.
But why doesn't a multi-billionaire now go, even what Ashley's asking for, hang on, you'll make that money back with Newcastle. That is a good investment.
It is, and it's a very surprising thing to feel that he's put up the club for sale numerous times and no one has come in to actually take over this club, which is traditionally a giant of the Premier League.
It's a one-club town,
exactly.
Right?
So, very surprising on this one. But on the other side of the border with Leicester, Claude Puel, we've talked about this on many, many shows. These are two clubs which I feel they've got managers who really do well within the means of what they are given to work with. Rafa, with hardly any resources, still doing really well. And Claude Puel, as we know, got a lot of stick at his previous job and when he got this job as well. And he's done really well for Leicester. So these two managers at the end of the season will come and look at themselves and say, you know what, I've done what is required of me and potentially a little bit more.
What should Leicester City's ambitions be? They're ex-Premier League champions. They've got Claude Puel. They're sort of mid-table at the moment. What should their aim be every season?
Leicester are where Newcastle were a few years ago.
Yeah.
When Newcastle were, we had the same question, what is Newcastle's ambitions going to be? Before they all, there's a glass ceiling to be broken. What are they going to do? Seventh should have been sewn up by Leicester by now, if you ask me. And that's all they're going to do. They're going to go Europa League tops. Champions League? No. I don't think so.
No.
Hmm. Well, that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, Leicester, when they were in the Champions League, they didn't do too badly.
No.
They
I'm
got to the quarterfinals.
Once they're there, they're okay. But to get to the Champions League is a different story.
That's the holy grail.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're not going to do it again.
Yeah,
they're
not.
No, Europa League is the limit,
the max,
I think.
Yeah.
But they're one of the only 6 teams that have won the Premier League. So they've got something for them that will forever live in history, regardless of whatever happens. So I think Leicester, where they are right now, they are happy in the league of where they are. If they get a Europa League spot, really, 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 really well done for them. And the likes of Jamie Vardy, Riyad Mahrez will always.
Yeah, Mahrez, I mean, this is probably his last
season. But I don't see Vardy going anywhere. He looks comfortable where he is.
He does. I know. Yeah, I know. You're right. But, you know, Leicester was so close to being a history stat of being the only team to win the Premiership and get relegated the following season.
But they didn't, yeah.
You know?
Okay. Leicester, Newcastle, Saturday, 10 o'clock kickoff. Let's talk about bottom side West Brom. They take on Swansea. Now, Swansea themselves are 15th, by no means out of trouble. Yeah. West Brom, they got rid of the remarkably unpopular Alan Pardew midweek, and they've shipped in the extremely popular Darren Moore, who is Mr. West Brom of the modern day, really. The players love him, the fans love him. There is some kind of bounce here to be had, a new manager bounce.
The post-Pardew bounce.
Post-Pardew bounce, always a good one.
Well, you'd get that anyway, wouldn't you? but it's too late. I mean, I can understand why they hesitate about sacking Pardew, because they've got to pay him out, obviously, and they were down anyway. But there was still a chance. I mean, even now, mathematically, they're not actually down, are they?
They're not relegated yet. Yeah.
So if they'd acted a few games ago, there was a possibility of, a miraculous escape, because other teams like Stoke and Southampton are struggling.
Yeah.
But they've done the worst of all worlds here, haven't they? They got rid of Tony Pulis, who was just the man to keep them up.
Yep.
And they get Alan Pardew, who's just the man to send them down. Got rid of both of them, and they are still going down.
So then I think it's a question of the players, because it's not worked with Pulis for a long time. They didn't get a win under Pulis, I think, for at least close to 20 games. Pardew's got one win in 18. So when you have this mentality of Pulis not being able to do it, you've brought Pardew in, who normally gives you that short bounce and he takes you for a couple of games and he wins a couple. If he can't do it, and you've got seasoned pros, when you look back at the season, going to Barcelona and stealing a taxi and all those kind of things, maybe at the end of the day, yes, we can sit here and say managers come and managers go, but at times players have to look at themselves
as well. Absolutely, absolutely.
Pardew was out on the tiles as well.
Yeah, exactly. He lost his wallet, jacket.
He wasn't in the taxi, no, but he was out elsewhere.
Yeah,
it was called for him.
And it's sad because they've got a lot of seasoned pros there as well, so it's quite sad.
Let's face it, for West Brom, it's a big ask to beat Swansea, even if you're at home, because they're on a good turn at the moment under Carlos Carvajal, aren't they, Swansea?
Yep, yep.
Well, Jose Mourinho said he was the manager of the year, didn't he?
He's going to keep him up, yeah.
That's not such an outrageous statement. I think it's got to be Pep Guardiola. But, for what he's done, he's only been there half a year.
Mm.
It's remarkable. We've talked about this before. And being a Portuguese, he's probably a little bit biased. But Carvajal deserves all the credit he gets. And I think they will stay up. Somehow, they've still got a fight on their hands.
Yeah.
We talk about this game. It won't be as easy as it looked when Pardew was manager.
No.
Because you can expect the players to respond somehow.
Yeah.
But if Swansea win this, then I think they'll be pretty safe.
Agree. This one is key for them, because after this, they've actually got matches against Man City, they've got matches against Chelsea, they've got matches against Everton. They end the season with games against Southampton and Stoke, which are about where they are at. So getting this win will take a lot of pressure off them before they go and take on the big boys. Carlos Carvajal has done really well. I think he was very unfairly treated in the Championship with his previous job.
Yeah,
he's
Sheffield Wednesday.
He's a very cultured type of a manager, but he's got them working hard as well. So I hope, for the sake of football and how Swansea play, they do stay up, because they play football the right way.
All right, the other game we should just quickly mention, Watford are playing Burnley. Watford are 11th, Burnley are 7th. Now, never would you have guessed that these two are so safe and ready to fight next season. Watford now, are they a staple Premiership side, Bob?
Well, I think the laughter gives you the answer.
I just pinched myself. Did I just say that?
No, with those owners, they sack the manager every year, don't they?
Yeah, at least three or four.
Yeah. Anything's possible at Watford, isn't it? Anything. And the fans know that. This is an incredible bonus, having this spell of, three or four years of what you would call stability, even though they've gone through about 15 managers in that time. But they've been around mid-table now for a while. They are getting used to it, yeah.
And for Burnley, Sean Dyche, yeah. I mean, how long can they keep punching above their weights? They're doing it every game.
If there was a second choice for manager of the season after Pep Guardiola, Sean Dyche should be seriously given a serious consideration with what he's done with that team. And I completely admire...
But bear in mind, Tony Pulis did the same with West Brom last season with the same team in the same position until they had a free fall.
Yeah, but if they finished in the season in the top 10 for both these teams, it's overachieving and done really, really well compared to some of the giants of the league that you would think that have been there for longer times.
Let's see. Burnley are 5 points adrift of Arsenal, currently in a Europa League Cup spot. There are 7 games to go. You need an Arsenal fade of maybe 2 or 3 defeats.
2 or 3.
Arsenal don't fade at this time.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's getting warmer. Pitches are drier, you know. Yeah. They're looking forward to the summer holidays.
One interesting thing for England is that for Burnley, you've got Tom Heaton coming back. So Tom Heaton's been out for a very, very long time. Nick Pope has done really well for them. But Tom Heaton, if he's hoping to squeeze himself into that England fold, this is where he needs to come in and play a couple of good games and see how it goes from there.
All right, brilliant. That's your weekend's football. Here's producer Andy Whitelaw with the treatment table.
In our fantasy league, it's a big congratulations to Sukhwin Gill, who's Chrome Dome FC atop of the table with 1,986 points. Jason Gray's Supercop is second, Jurgen Klopp's Puiho Kok sit third. Fourth spot belongs to Chana Kwek's W309C. And completing the top five is KT's Peretta Blaze. Our top man at BFM is Jeff Sandu, who's in 62nd place. So as you get ready to sort out your teams for the weekend, here's an injury update from the treatment table. Idrissa Gunner-Gay is a doubt for Everton in the Merseyside derby. Liverpool, a touch-and-go over Nathaniel Clyne and Emre Can. Kurt Zouma, Kevin Vimmer and Mame Diouf are minor doubts for Stoke, but have a good chance to be fit against Tottenham. The Lily-Whites are fully fit apart from Harry Winks. Christian Cabasele will have a late fitness test for Watford, while Ben Mee is in the same boat for Burnley. Dale Stevens is struggling for Brighton. They take on Huddersfield, who have no fresh concerns. Doubts remain over Daniel Sturridge for West Brom's clash with Swansea. The Welsh side looks set to be without Angel Rangel. Lys Mousset is a minor doubt for Bournemouth with illness. Christian Benteke will have a late fitness test for Crystal Palace. Daniel Amati is nursing a thigh injury for Leicester. They play Newcastle, who could miss Mo Diawe. Sergio Aguero looks likely to miss out on the Manchester derby. Manchester United, meanwhile, rate Phil Jones as 50-50. Henrik Mkhitaryan looks set to miss out for Arsenal, having received a knock against CSKA Moscow. Opponents Southampton look to have a full complement. Pedro, Davide Zappacosta and Thibaut Courtois are all minor doubts for Chelsea. They should be fine, though. West Ham are 50-50 over Manuel Lanzini and James Collins. So that about wraps it up for this round. Have a great weekend and stay healthy.
Producer Andy Whitelaw there with the treatment table. Let's go straight to the predictor. Predictors.
It's time for the big weekend shout brought to you by MyChris.
Now, he's been wearing his Real Madrid top all evening.
Boo. Since Wednesday morning.
It is the Madrid derby this weekend. It's not a big shout if you say Real Madrid are going to win.
No, but they're going to win. But my big shout is that Zidane is going to put out full-strength squad.
Cristiano Ronaldo with another overhead kick.
Cristiano Ronaldo scored a hat-trick last season against Atletico at the Champions League. He's one of their favourite opponents. It's for him to score against them. He's going to bang in a couple of goals more. And Real to close in the gap and hopefully finish the season second spot, right behind Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard for me to say that, behind Barcelona.
In a three-man league.
before I pass it on to you, three-man league, but you still had the sixth place team in Sevilla knocking out a Manchester United in the Champions League. So you got to speak about quality of the leagues here, guys.
Okay, Gogs, what's your big shout?
I'm still trying to come back from that one, mate. No. Like you said, David Moyes, he's got nothing, no pressure on West Ham to steal something against Chelsea. Conte, I mean, this is his long goodbye. He's already given up. Like you said, everybody's looking at the beaches and everything.
Chelsea have lost 3 of their last 4 in all competitions.
Exactly, yeah.
Bob, what's your big shout?
Mine's Everton. I think Klopp is going to rest quite a lot of players for Liverpool.
And rightly so.
Yeah, and they're fully concentrated on the Champions League. This game, the first time in history, it won't mean that much. If Everton win, there'll always be an asterisk against it to say that Liverpool were forced to play a Merseyside derby 63 hours after playing a Champions League quarterfinal, and that, which is an outrage. So I think Klopp will be fully justified in resting players. Result of this won't matter.
The Big Weekend Shout is brought to you by MyChris, connecting people and business with a personal touch.
That's it. We're out of time. Hope you guys all enjoy your football this weekend. Thank you, Arvind.
Take care, guys. Hala Madrid. Watch the derby tomorrow.
Thank you, Gogs.
Cheers, everyone. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, Bob Holmes.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank Friday. It's football every Friday at 8 p.m. on BFM 89.9. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.